Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've gotten your fill. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, that's right. Rob and Akiva need a podcast. First show of 2021. And here we are back with the man, host of three and a half podcasts. Here he is, the great Akiva Whitaker. Akiva, how are you?
We put three and a half men in the season three, episode seven, Fishbowl.
Three and a half men? Is that a sequel?
Well, you just said three and a half podcasts, so it's like three and a half men.
The show was two and a half men, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, we're off to a hot start for 2021.
Season 3, Episode 7, Boy Meets World. We are back to talk about it, coming off of a week where we talked about Ape Crazy Nights. We talked about two different movies featuring, one had a chimpanzee, one had an ape. Talked about some 90s movies. Didn't feel like we got a lot of feedback. Maybe it sort of went sort of like a holiday week. People were busy.
Yeah, I'd say all the feedback we got was positive, but I did notice not one person rewatched Ed with us.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody watched Ed with us. Like, I don't think people were like, yeah, I watched those movies and they were bad. Nobody watched Ed.
Kind of hard to get to buy both of them on Amazon Prime. Maybe had they been available on a streaming service, maybe more people would have checked them out.
Yeah, maybe we should pay more attention to that going forward. Like, make sure it's like easily accessible.
Yeah, if it's on Netflix. Although when we did the murder mystery movie, although we did it like a year after it came out, that it wasn't really like people were like, oh yeah, I just watched this.
That's true. And also like that, yeah, maybe the bad movies nobody's going to watch no matter what we do. If somebody ever wants to watch what we're watching, message me and I'll find it for you.
But Akiva, how'd you ring in the new year?
I don't know. I didn't really do anything. Like I've never been a New Year's guy.
Yeah.
Our new year is Rosh Hashanah. Like, it's 5781 in the Jewish New Year. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a big January 1st guy. I don't make any resolutions I'm going to stop keeping by January 10th.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, my wife worked, so it was just like, it was very quiet night. I did a six-hour patron cast and then got done and then, inhaled some pizza and then was playing video games with my kids. That was the extent
of my year. A quiet night entails a six-hour podcast. That's a quiet night for you.
That was the bulk of the daytime. But Akiva, okay, like in the Jewish community, was there a lot of like 5780, worst year ever?
I think people were making the joke this year.
Yeah.
I think people were definitely pulling that on Twitter, like 5780. Because if you think about it, have things gotten better since September?
They've gotten worse since September.
Okay. Well, then, yeah. So then maybe 5781 is just as bad.
Well, it's a mixed bag. Some good, some bad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, all right. We're going to be talking about Boy Meets World, Season 3, Episode 7. Would it be inappropriate for me to say that I was going to be, you could call me Goy Meets World?
No, that's funny.
Yeah, okay.
That would be funny.
Okay.
I'll save that
for the podcast, not for Twitter.
All right. Well, no, I think you should tweet it, Goy Meets World. People will like it.
All right. Here,
let's ask our guests if they like that joke.
Season 3, Episode 7 of Boy Meets World. He called his shot from way back when. Mm-hmm. When we talked about this, let's find out if he was the person that submitted it. He certainly said, claimed, shotgun. I'm on it.
That's how this podcast works. You just call shotgun and you get an episode.
Yep. That's what happens. Okay. Here he is. Matty Fresh, Matt Gagan. Matt, how are you?
Oh my God. Yes. I'm finally here. By popular demand, it's Keevesworth's nightmare.
Yes. Okay. Matt Gagan is here. Boy Meets World super fan. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes. It was probably one of my first favorite shows since all the way back in elementary school. And I've, you know, just since I was a kid, just watched it over and over again, had all 7 seasons on DVD. So it's definitely a favorite of mine.
Okay. Matt.
Rob, can I read some of Matt's Boy Meets World tweets from back in the day to just prove his CV?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. November 25th, 2011. Boy Meets World, the best show of all time. November 26th. Oh my God, huge news. I'm watching Boy Meets World. January 4th, 2012, I got every season of Boy Meets World for Christmas. Hashtag quality show, hashtag Mr. Feeny. 2 weeks later, finally finished watching every episode of Boy Meets World. Hashtag now what? Mm-hmm. Pizza Hut and Boy Meets World. This is phenomenal.
Yep.
The 4th and 5th seasons of Boy Meets World were certainly Topanga's hottest. November 2012.
Please, hey, come on. We're November not going to rank the Boy Meets World seasons by Topanga hotness. Okay, Matt?
He was probably a minor then. Disney Channel's being a sequel to Boy Meets World. I'm so bleeping pumped. Hashtag Corey. Hashtag Topanga. Hashtag Girl Meets World. Hashtag Best Show. December 28th, 2012. Corey Matthews is my hero and Boy Meets World is my guide to life. Hashtag classic show.
Yeah.
I wish Boy Meets World was on 24 hours a day. By the way, this is not a planned bit. I just Googled it a second. Okay. Holy S. Adam Scott was in Boy Meets World.
Let's get Matt's response to all this, Akiva.
I am so unprepared for this. I did not know. But I mean, you can see now, this is not fake.
It's not a bit.
I am a fan since my early days of Twitter. Apparently, I've been hashtagging it and tweeting about it for years and years.
Okay. Matt, let me tell you your challenge here today, because I think that this is what we need from you if we're going to really make this part of the best of 2021 here in this podcast today. So speaking for myself and Akiva, I could say that I think that we are both pretty ambivalent about Boy Meets World. We do not hate it, but it is not something that is super... What would be the right word to say, Akiva?
It's like important to our childhood. It's not something like...
It's not formative for either of us.
Like, yeah, when we talk about like Family Matters, like, oh, it wasn't my favorite show, but like, it was formative for me.
And we don't dislike it. The problem is that we don't really care about Boy Meets World. I think that was where the idea to get it out of the fishbowl may have come from. Your job here is to talk... Well, and we'll talk about the season 3, episode 7 that we watched, which was fine. Nice show. But your job here, I think, is really to, you know, help us understand why Boy Meets World is the greatest show of all time. And maybe, like, give us something here to help us understand the phenomenon of Boy Meets World.
Mm-hmm. Well, the deck is stacked against me because you guys have been anti... It seemed to me that you guys were anti-Boy Meets World since you tried to unjustly kick it out of the fishbowl.
Yeah, we kicked it out of the fishbowl in about November 1st-ish of 2019.
And, it was a little... I was on my time hop. It was a little over a year
it's
ago.
It's not that we dislike it, but...
Yeah, there's worse shows, for sure.
If we hated Boy Meets World, we would be ready to come in... We'd be coming in hot here today to talk about why... Yep. Tell you why Boy Meets World is terrible. What makes it a challenging podcast is that we don't have strong feelings about it.
Well, yes, and this I'll say right off the bat, this isn't the greatest episode to talk about or podcast about, but, you know, I don't care that you guys are ambivalent towards it. If you guys didn't grow up with it like I did, it's not going to be the same for you guys. What I was upset at is, you know, you guys like to pretend like there's this, the sanctity of the wheel, that you guys are always, you know, you guys have morals and you guys are always playing by the rules and not like,
yes,
listen, oh, this person wasn't on the podcast. Not our fault. They didn't come on the wheel, even though, you know, we all know that's BS. You could put Dr. Mike on the wheel 69 times and use 8 vetoes till he gets on the podcast. But you guys put something in the fishbowl. People get excited for it. I hear Boy Meets World. I didn't suggest it. I've never suggested anything for the show in my life, but I hear it and I say, oh my God, that's a great show. These are great people. It's a great podcast. This is going to be fun. I have something to look forward to. And that's really what everyone just wants. They just want something to look forward to. And then you keep listening. And then out of nowhere, because I don't know, Akiva just seems like he likes to, you know, make this format of the show as zany as possible. So he creates polls and takes things out and puts things in at will. And he just randomly decides, let's just take it out. And, which, you know, I felt, and a lot of people that follow me on Twitter also felt that it was unfair. So I did lead the crusade to get it back into the fishbowl. And at some point, I just became attached to it. And that's actually why I'm here right now. Okay. I don't even remember ever calling Shotgun for this episode. But you can understand my frustration.
And that's why you stopped listening to the podcast.
Well, yeah, I boycotted it for a while. And then
Boycott Meets World.
Yeah,
he tweeted that.
That was my tweet.
He literally said, honestly, can't wait for these morons to officially get rid of Boy Meets World so I can unsubscribe from the stupid show once for all. You also tweeted, wait, they took out Boy Meets World. Time for a boycott meets her nap. Am I right?
Wow. Should we block everyone who liked this tweet? How many likes did it get?
23. That's not so bad. Hurston, bye. Matt Stewart, bye. Allie, forget it. You're dead to me.
Okay.
No, so, I had stopped watching for a while because I stopped working, and that's when I listened to all my podcasts. But I heard from a good friend of the pod, Lita Brillman, that this was picked last week, and so I did my homework. I was probably like 2 or 3 months behind, and I took off from school this week. So on Monday, I just blew through 2.5 months worth.
Whoa.
Of,
wow. Okay. Wow, see, that's dedication.
All right. Well, take a look now. So it's sort of like that you were away for a while. You came back, and then podcast better or worse? Have we made any strides?
I'd say it's just as good as it was.
It's the same. Okay.
Yes. Okay. But I will say the last few episodes, you guys have had some all-star guests on, and it was the last you know, few episodes have been really good. And so I don't know if I'll be able to live up to them, but I'll try my hardest.
All right, well, let's talk a little Boy Meets World. I guess up top, could you explain the title Boy Meets World? Is that a play on something that I never understood? What does Boy Meets World refer to?
Well, Corey Matthews is the main character.
Yes.
And he is a boy, especially, you know, when the series starts, he is in sixth grade. So he is definitely just a boy. And the whole show is told through his point of view, and he is learning life lessons through Mr. Feeney and his parents and some other people. And he is becoming acquainted with the world and learning about it through 7 seasons of the show. I don't think there's a play on words or anything to it, really. But
was that an expression, Boy Meets World, like Akiva? Like we talked about, like, well, he's like, Billy is going off to the job field soon. I guess Boy Meets World, finally.
I don't think it is. But maybe they invented it. Was Girl Meets World an expression?
I mean, only when they made the spinoff.
I've heard Boy Meets Girl and Boy Meets World kind of rhymes with that, so maybe that. Do you think?
Oh boy, that's a real stretch. If that's what they're going for,
Joe is really more Boy Meets Girl than Boy Meets World, right?
Yeah, yeah,
it becomes true, at least.
Yeah, what does he do? Goes to junior high school.
Yeah,
middle school.
He met the world. Hello, world. He didn't even meet the world. He's got the same teacher for all 7 seasons. Nobody's less worldly than this guy.
The principal.
And the teacher.
He has had Mr. Feeney in his life at some point every year since kindergarten.
Yeah, Akiva, you a Feeney guy? You like Mr. Feeney?
He has a good episode this week. He shows a lot of heart. It is funny that, like, in these shows you have the same teacher. Like they do retcon in the show that he's always had Mr. Feeney as a teacher until he become. When does he become the principal, Matt?
Well, so he's in the first season. Corey's in sixth grade, and he's his like history teacher. And then 7th through 12th grade is high school. So the next season he goes to high school and he thinks he's done with Feeney, but then it turns out that Feeney has gotten a job as the principal of his high school. And then when he goes away to college in season 6 and 7, Feeney becomes a student and then a dean at the college. So he really just can't get rid of Feeney at all.
Boy, maybe a stalker.
Yeah.
Well, he also lives next door to him.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think it said Feeney was like in college, he's like physics teacher and yes, like English professor and the third unrelated subject.
I believe he taught 3 classes in the college. Well, when he taught Corey in sixth grade, he was a history teacher. And then when he was a college professor, he went to, I think, archaeology, English, and some kind of science.
That's a big glow up, Rob. Sixth grade history teacher, and then you're a college physics professor just 7 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Later in life. That's
he really
good.
Can he do anything he wants.
He must be getting like PhD after PhD while being the principal of the school.
Yeah,
I think so.
Matt, can you tell us, like, what is the worldview, the Boy Meets World view of the show? Like, if you could you give us just, like, sort of, like, the big takeaway from the show?
How do you mean? Like, what the lessons they're trying to impart?
Yeah, like, does the show have a certain outlook on the world?
I would say that, I mean, I think a lot of the lessons you're going to learn in the show are through Mr. Feeny, and you see in this episode that Mr. Feeny tries to be a very fair guy and also a very really promotes hard work. And I think in the beginning of the show, you see Corey and Sean are very much slackers. And throughout, Feeny is going to try to get them to, you know, do their work and apply themselves and help them realize that they're not stupid. They, you know, anyone can be smart if you just apply themselves. Even Corey's brother, Eric, becomes really dumb throughout the series, mm-hmm. but even he, with the right guidance and hard work, is able to get into college. So I think it's just if you have the right role models and if you apply yourself and put in the work, that you're smarter and more capable than you think you are. And as long as you do the work required, just something like that.
Yeah, Akiva, do you know how old the actor that plays Mr. Feeny is now?
Oh, good question. So the show starts in 93. This is probably a 95 episode. This episode's filmed in 95. I'm going to say, let's say he's 65. I'm going to say 90.
Yeah, 93, like, much like how the show started.
And he's still kicking?
Yeah.
Yep, 93. And
he's still in Girl Meets World, Matt.
He is, right?
He is in the first episode, and I, to be honest, I stopped watching Girl Meets World sometime in the first season.
I
thought it was pretty.
Too late to find a backup guest, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Come on. This is not Girl Meets
World.
Where's
Ryan Popola?
Yeah.
So he's definitely in the first episode, and then I think he's mentioned, you know, throughout the series, obviously, but I don't know if he's in anything else besides the first episode of the show.
Yeah, I could see also, like, I'm sure he's like, all right, I'll be in it, but I'm also 92 and I probably can't sit on set the whole day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, Matt, I think compared to the rest of the TGIF fair, that I feel like that Boy Meets World is like a bit of a smarter show. It seemed like that it skewed to like a more of an older audience. It's not necessarily as like campy as the Family Matters and like as sappy as the Full House. Is that right in terms of like the tone of the show?
That seems correct. So just fill me in. What are the other shows in TGIF? So it's Family Matters, Full House. Is there one other or there?
I mean, there were many.
Oh, there were many. Okay. So, I mean, I'm not too familiar with Family Matters, but I was also a big Full House guy. And yeah, I think if you're comparing Boy Meets World and Full House, which are two shows that I did grow up on, I always preferred Boy Meets World, and I'll always like rewatch Boy Meets World now. I don't think I'd ever put on old seasons of Full House just because Full House is, you know, a little sillier. It's really cheesy. There's, you know, they really hammer home the lessons in a way that Boy Meets World doesn't. You know, like you said, it's kind of smarter. I think it's better written. I think the jokes are actually, you know, funny. And I think the characters just, you know, develop more throughout the series as well. So,
Rob.
Yes.
So the one thing I thought watching this episode and having watched the show in particular, I agree that it is kind of a smarter show. Like, the writer's room is more impressive than a Full House type show.
For
like,
sure.
The jokes were pretty good. I definitely laughed out loud. I did think at one point during this episode, my daughters would like this show. I think if you show them from season one, especially like the fact that they get into like the, not love triangle, but sort of the love story later on, like, I do think it actually does hold up pretty well.
Yeah, I thought so too. That's why, you know, like, it's fine. I would not be doing a rewatch of Boy Meets World. But, you know, it's not like there's just it's hard to season 3, episode 7 it because there's like not a lot to make fun of here.
Well, but I do have some complaints. I will say, and remember, I'm face blind, so it's a little tricky. Everyone looked the exact same.
Everybody
to me.
Like, looks I don't the know same. You're right.
I don't know who his brother is. It's like a lot of blonde surfer dudes. I don't know who is who.
Yeah.
I can get that with Sean and Eric kind of both have like the hair thing.
Even like the kid who's like a menace at the school is also.
Who's the menace? What's his deal? I don't even know his name.
Are we talking about Joey the Rat?
Joey the Rat. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think his name is like used during the episode.
Yeah. It's a very rare episode where it's just Joey and not. So usually he's with him and Frankie are like best friends at the school, and they are they're lackeys to the main bully, Harley. And until he, you know, goes away to juvenile detention or whatever, and then they get a replacement bully played by Adam Scott for a few episodes. But
well, Adam Scott is a very imposing figure.
Well, he's a different kind of bully. He was more of a Machiavellian type guy. But so yeah, then they have a big episode where they swear off being lackeys, and it's just going to be the two of them from now on. But yeah, this is a rare episode where it's just Joey and not any of his bully friends.
Okay,
Joey Epstein, not love than this. But wait,
I'm sorry,
Joey.
What?
For people who didn't watch the episode, at one point, is selling tires in the cafeteria. Is that correct? Like he's selling tires to like sixth graders or seventh graders in the school cafeteria, and tube socks.
That's right.
Which isn't even a word I think that's used anymore. Tires and tube socks. So he's just like
anything
like
with a
career criminal starting.
Well, yeah, he's a rat. He'll do anything to get a quick buck.
Yeah. I guess we could get into this episode a little bit, which is called Truth and Consequences, which was a really gritty look at the high school / public access news beat.
Mm-hmm. This is very relatable for
like
everyone.
The newsroom.
For everyone that was in like 9th and 10th grade and they put on, you know, big hard-hitting investigative journalism shows.
Yes, you know how most high schools have a TV station that does local broadcasts.
Either of your high schools, you guys both grew up on Long Island like I did.
That's right.
Did either of your high schools have a TV or radio station?
No. So I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I was very involved with the school newspaper, the Wantagh Warrior, during my time. And just very recently, I have reconnected with my journalism teacher on Facebook, and I was going, going back and forth, trading Facebook messages the other day. I said, "Look at this! Look, I'm just like, here I am. I guess I'm like a real Corey Matthews, just like chatting it up with my high school teachers. just a few short years after my high school graduation."
Yeah, I mean, as far as my school went, not that I know of any radio or. Like there was definitely a media class, but we would just create videos and submit them to the teacher. I don't know who exactly you would broadcast to, because I feel like, you know, the students are in class, but in this episode, it seems like a big deal. Like Corey's parents, for some reason, are there watching. I guess they got the day off from work. I don't know what their deal is, but yes, it seems like a pretty big deal at John Adams High.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a little bit of a helicopter parent, right? Like the kids are finally going to be on like the local news and both his parents are there. And by the way, like it's such a big deal for him. He's still editing the piece while they're on air. He's still editing like 5 minutes before they're on air.
Hey, look,
do any editing.
It's the news doesn't go on because it's 6 o'clock, Akiva. It's 6 o'clock.
I'm sorry,
it doesn't go on because it's ready. I got to screw that up.
Yeah.
That's all right. Lord Michael's life. No one else's parents were there. Just
right. Nobody, because that's crazy for your parents to be there. That's like super helicopter.
But hold on. That there's some sort of parental guardian that also like, so who's his friend? Sean?
Sean Hunter.
Sean is his friend. And then they're like, there's a whole scene where they're like being like really creepy peeping Toms and filming a woman undressing with a video camera. And then this guy comes home. And is that like Sean's dad, but he also works at the school?
So I thought you might be a little confused if this is like the only episode you're watching. So what happens is Sean used to live in a trailer park with his mom and dad at somewhere in season two, his mom runs off. And then at the end of season two, his dad leaves with the trailer to go and try to find the mom, abandoning Sean, essentially. So he lives with Corey for a little bit, but that doesn't really work out. And so his English teacher, Mr. Turner, decides he's going to become his legal guardian and have him live at his apartment.
Yeah, he's like the cool teacher, Mr. Turner.
He's the cool guy that wears the leather jacket and rides the motorcycle.
Yeah, because I don't know how cool this was for Corey Matthews and Sean when they apparently live in some sort of a apartment building where there is a woman who gets into a towel and dances, puts on a whole show, and then not only are Corey and Sean, you know, glued to this, mesmerized, they break out the video camera. And I have to say that this is beyond the pale.
What, for the adult to do it or for the children?
I think one for the children. Look, because I've been through this where that I longtime listeners of the podcast know that neighbors. I used to have a neighbor who I don't know if she could tell or not but she would often get undressed. Rob's Naked Neighbor was a Twitter account. Sometimes I'd be doing a podcast and all of a sudden this woman would get undressed.
Could you set your watch to it?
You couldn't set your watch to it. It would be a rare thing. But I don't think you're supposed to videotape it. I think the rule is that if somebody's getting undressed in front of the window, they're like, hey, you comment like, oh my God, can you believe what this person is doing? Honey, look at this. But then if you videotape it, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a breach of privacy.
That's a breach of privacy.
Definitely a couple of lines across.
Yeah, if you're an adult, you probably shouldn't be like, hey, kids, this is pretty sweet. Oh, wait, her towel just fell.
Hey, mm-hmm. He told them to put the camera away. Mr. Turner, He knew all about it, though, Mr. Turner.
He's like, oh, it's 5:30.
He knows. He sets his watch to it. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought if the show was a little bit more sophisticated, I thought, like, the lady from the window should have either been the woman who does the sleep study or, like, his first secretary, and he has to fire her because she's, like, not dressed. Like, right. Couldn't you have tied that together?
I guess they don't do the huge, you know, Seinfeld thing of making sure they tie every storyline together.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. No,
that's why we're here to help them out.
Yes,
that's right.
So yeah, I thought that was very odd.
Well,
I mean, not odder than a kid selling stolen tires in the cafeteria.
Well, do you think it was odd that they were filming the woman, or odd that he lives with his English teacher?
No, I thought that, you know, videotaping a woman who was undressing, I thought, was show, that seemed a little out of place for me.
Hopefully Corey and Sean have learned that that's not cool sometime in their adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The episode really centers around how that Corey has to do this project for the school television station, and he does a piece of investigative journalism about the janitor punches out or leaves the school at 2:55, and then has this other kid, Joey the Rat, punch out his card at 5. So he is paid for a couple of hours that he is not at work. And he goes to the track, and this piece of investigative journalism was aired on television, which gives Mr. Feeney no choice but to fire Janitor Bud. A bit of an ethical dilemma for Corey, it turns out, that if he had this dirt on Janitor Bud, should he have taken it to the airwaves?
Yeah, well, first, it seems kind of crazy that I guess the time cards are just kind of like in the middle of the hallway for any of the students.
Yes.
That seems very insane to me.
Yeah.
I feel like more students would just be messing with the time cards and just sure. People in and out at random. But it really is his media arts teacher's fault, because he was really pounded in that, you know, you got to get the story. You got like this Jell-O Square story isn't going to be good enough. If you want to be in this class, you have to do it. So, I mean, Corey, just he wasn't thinking about what the consequences would be. He was just thinking he needs a good story, he needs a passing grade, and this just kind of fell into his lap.
Yeah, it was wild, because they watch the news report, and every single person is sort of narrating what they are doing as they are on the video report.
Yes, right. It's sort of like, yeah, it's the first person sort of like, hey, we're live from the from the punch cards, and then they see the janitor leaving. There's also nobody in the halls at this school. Like, it's completely empty other than the janitor. But he also does not notice the video camera on him, much like the lady in the window doesn't notice that he's being filmed and that they're catching him breaking the law or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt, does Boy Meets World normally center on ethical dilemmas like this?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say at least, you know, a few times every few episodes, really, they try to bring in as much, you know, drama with some ethical dilemmas as possible, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a very special episode, but do they do a lot of very special episodes?
They definitely do a few. There's some that come to mind. Like you said, this isn't exactly a very special episode, but they've dealt with definitely more important stuff. There's definitely some adult topics in later seasons that I know that Disney refused to air 3 of the episodes because they, you know, dealt with like underage drinking and stuff like that.
Okay, so that we watched this show on Disney Plus, or at least I did. So there are episodes from the catalog that are not on Disney Plus.
I'm not sure. I would guess that Disney Plus probably has all of them, but I know when they used to air like on Disney, there were three specific episodes that Disney did not show.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So there is definitely a lot of back and forth after Mr. Feeny announces that he will have to fire Janitor Bud over did Corey do the right thing, that he had this piece of news. Should he have gone to the airwaves with it? I mean, this is like something right out of the West Wing, Akiva, of, you know, these journalists, they have something. Does it matter if they're the subject that they're covering is their friend, or do they have a duty to get the truth out there?
Yeah, I think nobody's harmed by the janitor leaving early. I think the fact that he's 2 months away and he's got, you know, a foot and a half out the door.
Well, his big thing was that he was going to get a pension in 2 months. He was going to get his full pension.
Yes, he's 2 months away from a pension. I understand. Like, there's burnout after 40 years of doing this job. He's an old man, if people aren't watching the show. He's a very old janitor.
Janitor Bud.
He's also still with us, much like
Peter. That's good.
Long live Janitor Bud.
When everyone had died.
Yeah.
Not a fun fact. Yeah, so I understand, like, he wants to, you know, he wants to get the scoop. But obviously, you got to shelve this story. You're not helping anybody. Who cares? Is the school so filthy, like, because he's leaving at three?
You know, I understand where Corey's coming from, because he's under a lot of pressure to get good grades in class through his parents and Feeny and his other teachers. That, like I said, he's not really thinking about the consequences. I think it's absurd that his teacher is just kind of putting this on without looking at it first, because Corey was editing it until the last minute. I also, you know, I agree that I don't think it's probably right to air this, because, you know, let Janitor Bud do whatever he wants. Let him bet on the ponies and clock out a couple hours early. It's not harming anyone. But, you know, Corey's got to do what he's got to do to get a good grade in this class. He doesn't get the best grade, so he's got to take advantage when he can.
Matt, can you give us some, like, fun facts about Boy Meets World, like some wild storylines or anything like that that would really, like, blow our minds about Boy Meets World?
Jeez, I'm very unprepared, but I don't think I can find anything that'll blow your mind, but some fun. I remember that there was discussion when this got kicked out of the fishbowl and then brought back in. Someone suggested that since it's being reintroduced, maybe we should do season 7, episode 3. And I did get excited about the prospect of that, because kind of like Seinfeld, the last two seasons are everything just goes off the rails. Kind of they just everything, like, it's not even like a believable show anymore, which is fine with me, because I think those are the funniest seasons. But
this is when it's very grounded in reality. Season 3, episode 7.
Yes, exactly. You get it. But yeah, they all go off to the same college, and Eric just gets really dumb. And there's some weird plot lines that do with that. There's an episode later in this season, season 3, where Corey kind of gets knocked out and kind of travels back in time to the '50s and becomes sort of like a member of Happy Days, where Sean is the Seanzy, and there's some the fun stuff with all that. You know, just trying to think of other, you know, crazy plot lines that happened. Nothing else really coming to mind right now.
What's your favorite episode?
Oh my goodness.
I can answer this, Rob.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Matt G was once asked, like, people were listing their top five favorite television episodes of all time. And at number one, he listed season 5, episode 17 of BMW. What is that, Matt?
This is a really good one. So this is people call it the Halloween episode, but it didn't actually air during Halloween. It's just kind of, it's like a Scream parody. And pretty much they all get detention, and there's a killer on the loose, and kind of one by one, he murders all the people in detention. So it's a very interesting episode. It's very funny. It's my, like Akiva mentioned, it is my favorite television episode of all time.
Okay. I'm looking at a list from Cleveland.com. They ranked 158 Boy Meets World episodes. You know, what is the worst Boy Meets World episode? Do you know?
I don't know. I would imagine. I feel like season 1 is just kind of a nothing season. So
no, it's a season. None of the season 1 episodes make the bottom 10.
Why is Cleveland.com doing a Boy Meets World episode rankings?
Because it turned 25 on September 19th.
Is this show set in Cleveland, though, I'm asking?
Like, no, this is a Philadelphia show.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah,
I guess Cleveland.com is just a big Boy Meets World.
According to this, it touched millions of hearts, and it felt truer to real life than the other cheesier ABC shows like Full House or Family Matters, like what we were saying earlier. So, okay, here we are. The worst episode of Boy Meets World, according to this article, Troy Smith from Cleveland.com says, episode 158 overall is no guts, no Corey. Let's start with a Boy Meets World detour episode that goes nowhere. What's worse is it comes as a crossover episode where Salem the Cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch swallows a time ball that transports Corey back to the 1940s where he's a soldier fighting in Europe. That's that's the episode we should have covered.
Yeah. Which side is he on? Just ask.
He looks like that he is a part of the Allied forces in this picture.
That's good. That could be a very controversial episode.
Yes. Okay.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, my God. We got to break out those season 5 DVDs.
Yeah, we're going to I will say about this.
Yes.
I'm going to watch the episode that Matt says is the best episode of all time. Maybe I'll watch that. I'm going to watch the best and worst.
Cleveland.com ranks that as number 3. Okay, they do not good. Share that what opinion.
Well, 3 is pretty good. What are the two that are ahead of it, if you don't mind me
asking? The two better episodes. Number 2 is season 4, episode 60. They go, 1 and 2 is a part 1 and part 2, although 2 is part 1 and 1 is part 2. A long walk to Pittsburgh. Mind. Does that ring a bell for you, Matt?
That's a classic. That's when Topanga has to move to Pittsburgh, but then she runs. Spoilers, by the way, for anyone who's planning on binging Boy Meets World, but then she runs away and reunites with Corey. Very emotional. Very good episode.
Yeah. Okay.
When do Topanga and Corey start dating on the show?
So there's definitely some on the show. They start dating this season. This in season 3, this is a pretty new relationship. It's referenced that they were like boyfriend and girlfriend back when they were in elementary school, but in season 1 he also pretends like he doesn't know her, so it's a little iffy. But in terms of the show, they become an item, as Mr. Williams says, in season 3.
Yeah. Akiva, the other night when I was doing the patron cast, I think we started to talk a little bit about the season 3 episode 7 of Boy Meets World, and we got to start talking about the popularity of Topanga as a baby name. Do you have any interest in that?
Yeah,
of course. Our friend Jennifer from babynames.com is not here with us.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know the year in which Topanga peaked as a baby name?
I'm going to guess 1999.
Very close. It was 1998.
Yeah, that's like the height of the show towards the very end. I think that makes sense.
It never became that popular. In 1998, there were 48 baby girls named Topanga.
Well, that's very few.
Yeah, there were 44. I think it was around 3,000th in the rankings. But
yeah, because I can say, Rob, I don't know a single Topanga.
Well, there are 22, or I'm sorry, there are 48 22-year-old Topangas out there, give or take.
For a name like Topanga, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. So... there's only a couple of hundred in the world, but they are out there.
Well, Topanga is a place in California, right? But it's not like
there's a Topanga Canyon. Yeah.
But you wouldn't, if you lived out there, you probably wouldn't name your kid Topanga. Similar to like almost everyone named Brooklyn is not from New York.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Matt, do you think that the baby named Corey spiked also?
Maybe a little bit. I don't think there was probably too much of a spike though.
Let's see. What's the most popular name or popular year for the name Corey? Does look like that Corey peaked actually not necessarily with Boy Meets World. It looks like around although we have Corey with an E and then Corey without an E. But it looks like it peaked higher in the late 60s.
Yeah, I don't think a ton of people were obsessing over Corey to the point where they needed to name a kid after him.
Yeah, of course, Corey Feldman and Corey Haim really brought it to prominence in the 1980s.
Of course.
That was Pete Corey territory, for sure.
Pete Corey territory. The Simpsons, used to have the Coreys, sure. So
save this for the King of the Coreys pod.
King of the Coreys. Okay. Matt, is there anything else about Boy Meets World that you feel like the listeners need to know or myself or Akiva need to know?
No, there's nothing necessary that you need to know. Like I said, this wasn't a perfect episode to really encapsulate the show. I I'm sorry if I didn't do a good enough job really convincing you guys that you should be standing Boy Meets World.
I do like it. I think I like it more than a day ago.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
There's nothing really that I need you guys to know about the show right now, but I am happy that you gave it the chance it deserved, put it back in the fishhole, and you know, you gave it an honest shot.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more takes, Rob, just about this episode in particular. Sure. So it turns out that the janitor was leaving early because at first they make you think like, oh, he's actually going to do some charity work. He's maybe working with orphans or something like that. It turns out that he was just going to the racetrack to play the pony.
Yeah.
So it's funny. They like played with your emotions to make you feel so bad for him and to make Corey feel so bad. And then ends up he's gambling. We find out that, he was paying the rat $5 a day to let him leave early.
Yeah.
By the way, the rat is eventually going to narc on him, right? The rat is going to use this information at some point anyway.
Yeah. He's getting a good deal though. $5 isn't that much money to.
In 1995, that's not a bad allowance.
Mm-hmm.
And also the dead fish in the locker. Did anybody ever put something crazy in somebody's locker when you were in high school, Rob?
No, I don't think that ever happened. Not that I could ever think of. The dead fish. That was a huge fish.
Huge fish.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
How'd they get that in there? That's so gross.
And really, no one cares. You know, Topanga doesn't really bat an eye. Mr. Williams is just kind of, fish in the locker. It's just another day at John Adams High, I guess.
Yeah. Also, that Mr. Feeney, I think, ends up figuring out a good way around this, that he does fire the groundskeeper or the janitor, Bud, but then hires him to be his secretary. Akiva, what did you think about that as a way out of this ethical dilemma for Mr. Feeney?
I mean, I don't get it at all. It's like, why does he need, we learned at the beginning of the episode he's interviewing secretaries, but like, why at this point can't he keep him as the janitor? I guess maybe he's keeping him closer to home.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Like, I don't know. Like, I understand that this became a news story. I don't know how many people exactly saw this, but I don't know why this means that Feeney has to fire him now. I feel like he could probably just give him like a warning or something. Or why once he fires him as a janitor, he's then allowed to hire.
Well,
him
I think he has to fire him. That once it's sort of like made public that he is like breaking the school board rules. Like, I just don't understand why. Okay, we have to fire him from a custodian, but maybe the secretaries is a non-union position, although I think that would affect his pension. So
yeah, don't you think like the board or whoever, like the superintendent, would have been like, hey, I heard about this thing where the janitor was clocking out 2 hours early and got busted on camera and was paying off a child to punch him out at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you terminated him, right? He's like, well, yeah, sure. By the way, he's right here. He's my secretary now. He has access to every file now.
I guess I just don't understand how many people exactly did see this news story.
Yeah, I don't know. In 95, public access, maybe it was a bigger deal. The internet had not really risen to prominence yet.
Yeah, I mean, I usually assume that Feeney knows what he's doing. I guess he looked into it and just found an acceptable loophole.
Yeah. Matt, do you feel like that Boy Meets World was held back in any way by not ever going with one theme song? I'm looking at 42 facts about Boy Meets World, and it says here that the theme song of the show changed 5 times over the run of the show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a different theme song for each of the first 4 seasons before they settled on one. Before they settled on one for seasons 5 through 7.
Yeah. Akiva, do you think that Boy Meets World would be regarded even higher today had it been able to nail the theme song?
Yeah, I think if they hit a home run on the theme song, it's one tier up. Because
it will not
think,
be
like,
in the theme song bracket part 2?
I think all 5. On 32 fans? Theme songs.
You think all 5 should be in the theme song?
I think there should be a separate region just for Boy Meets World theme
song. Should have a play-in.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
All right, we could do that. It's interesting because this show is not. This show is better than Full House, and it's better like than Saved by the Bell, but I think it's slightly less beloved. Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it never had the the broad Nielsen ratings.
Right.
That
it was never a huge smash hit.
That some of the other shows have, but I do think that it is regarded higher by that. There are people that are of Matt's age who swear by this as being the greatest show of all time, where there are not people that say Family Matters or Full House is the greatest show of all time.
I I wouldn't believe anyone if they told me their favorite show of all time was Full House. Mm-hmm. But Boy Meets World definitely holds up better. And I think a good theme song does go a long way. You know, people love singing a catchy theme song. I don't know why they couldn't get that down, really.
Okay. Akiva, anything else about Boy Meets World that you want to say?
No, but that's it. But I am going to check out the greatest episode of all time and let Matt know how it is.
Yeah. I didn't like the storyline with the brother in this episode.
It was really nothing. It was so pointless.
Yeah, it was an overkill joke where basically the brother has no brain activities, taking a bunch of sleep studies.
Mm-hmm. And this is really, like, Eric is not dumb until season three. I guess they really didn't know what to do with him for the first two seasons, and then they just decided, let's just make him a complete idiot. And then, fun fact, Eric and Topanga end up going to the same college as do the rest of them. Topanga gets accepted to Yale, but ends up going to
the same college. Does the rat go to the college with them?
No, he's this is the last season that Joey the Rat's going to be in, besides the graduation episode in season five.
Right. Uh-oh. Akiva, have you ever considered being part of a sleep study? You say that you are a great flyer. You sleep the whole time.
There is, I'm a big snorer. I don't know if you know that, if you remember that from the Sleepover podcast one year ago today.
when Chester played the recording.
Yeah. An extremely not effed up thing to do.
Yes. What's more messed up, to record your roommate snoring or to record a woman dancing in a towel across the way?
It's a good question.
I think you could get away with recording someone snoring.
Yeah, that's okay. It was fine. It was funny. But anyway,
I'm just saying, listen, that the woman in the towel might be an exhibitionist. She might see them with back.
I
with
might
the
be
camera.
A snoring exhibitionist.
Yeah.
But anyway, at the beer tournament, a friend of Chester's who was a student, happens to be in the Orthodox world, is kind of small. When he met me, he's like, oh, your dad was my rabbi in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now a whatever type of doctor does sleep studies. He handed me his card. He's like, oh, you should do, if you come here. We'll test you out. See what's wrong with you.
Come on in.
So maybe next time I go back to New York, I'll do a sleep study.
Yeah, this sounds like the ideal way to make money. If I could just make money sleeping every day, I'd sign up for that immediately.
Well, I don't think he's paying me. I think it's more of like, see what's wrong with you. I don't think I'm like a test subject.
Okay, you're paying him to sleep.
Well, I assume that's how it works with doctors. Yeah,
you should renegotiate that. I think
you get a deal. It's like your dad was my high school teacher. Maybe I get a deal. Like, would Feeney, charge? Would Feeney's kid get charged by Corey if he was going to him as a doctor? I don't know.
Probably not.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Boy Meets World.
I mean, we covered all the important stuff.
We met
stuff
the world.
In this episode.
Good world.
We met the world.
Yeah.
We got acquainted with the universe.
Yeah. And Girl Meets World was a failure. Why, Matt? It was too boring?
It wasn't boring. It was another show that was on Disney, but like Boy Meets World was, I guess, like an ABC show. This was a show made for Disney, so it's probably a little dumber. I just remember watching it and nothing in the show made sense to me. I was like, why are people behaving this way? And it's just, I enjoyed seeing Corey and Topanga again.
Right.
And I enjoyed all the cameos that they would do.
Matt, would you say that the show was a failure because that you care about Corey and Topanga? If the show was like following the lives of as they enter their middle ages, like really exploring what's going on with Corey and Topanga, and you could care less about what's going on with their kid.
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% watch it if it was centered around them. But even if they made a show that, was just better that centered around the kids, I'd still watch it just because, Corey and Topanga are a part of it. But definitely, if it did center around them and they did an actual sequel series, like I watched Fuller House, which kind of did something similar with the girls of Full House. And I, wasn't my favorite show, but I did watch all five seasons of it. So
yeah, but Akiva, it seems like that they really missed the mark with Girl Meets World, because I feel like that the people that are watching Boy Meets World are of an age that they did not have, like the kids that were watching Boy Meets World at the time Girl Meets World came out, they did not have a kid that would be of the age to watch Girl Meets World, where like the people that are the age that were really fans of Boy Meets World, it's like they have like maybe toddlers, that they have little kids, not kids old enough to watch Girl Meets World.
Yeah, and it wasn't a constant from when it was airing in the mid to late 90s till now. That's a good point. Whereas Full House stayed sort of more relevant. Like Full House, at all times there were kids watching Full House at every point from like 90 whatever until Fuller House came on the air. So you think if they had waited like 7 more years, then it would have worked better? Is that
your
take?
Yeah, I think so. I think perhaps.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe, you know, someday when like, you know, Matt has a 10-year-old. So like, hey, watch this Girl Meets World.
We're going to watch Boy Meets World first.
If they
still want more, we could get into Girl Meets World.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Akiva, you ready to head towards our mailbag?
Yeah, I got a big mailbag for everyone this week. Big first mailbag of 2021.
Okay, Matt, are you going to stay for the mailbag or do you have to go meet the world?
I was going to say no to do a power move, but you know, when you're actually on the call and you're having such a good time, it's hard to put an end to it. So I'll stay on for
you guys. All right. So we will meet the world and your mail with Matt coming up right after this.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, mailbag. We are ready to go. And Akiva, you say you have a very heavy and loaded bag right now, right?
Yeah. The mailbag is full. We're schlepping it down the street. Letters are flying out as I walk down the street with this mailbag.
It is a swollen bag right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that's a great way to describe it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Because people have been like writing like New Year. Let me get my ideas into Renap.
Yeah, maybe I just like found some old good ones. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, you did some spring cleaning.
No, I didn't do spring cleaning. I think I just have the mailbag's never really empty. You know, like some weeks I'll just read 5 out of 30 ideas that are in the mailbag, and we'll get to them next week. But I think I saved up some good ones.
I would imagine a lot of people's resolution this year was to get an idea onto the wheel. So that's probably
absolutely no question. It wasn't like hope to get the vaccine. It was like
no.
Mm-hmm. I want an idea on the wheel. Rob, you know, I'm going to get the vaccine soon.
Oh, you are?
Probably.
Is that just because of where you live that you are?
Yeah, everyone got it here. They it's a small country, so everyone's getting it.
Yeah, I think I did the math on when I'm eligible to get it. And I think sometime in 2025, I think my turn is going to be up.
Oh, no. Yeah. What's sad is I'm probably going to get it before my 91-year-old grandfather. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe I can get TikTok Nicole to campaign for me to the powers that be. But he is a boomer.
Is that how it works? If you campaign on TikTok, they give you the vaccine?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of pro-vaccine TikTok.
Also, like what happens here is because they're giving it out so much, it'll be like late at night, because once they take the vaccine out, they have to use it. They can't like put it back in the sub-zero fridge.
No,
the Pfizer vaccine.
Yeah, we're completely blowing it here.
Yeah. So what happens is like they'll be like, all right, we have like 30 more, and then it'll just be the nurse will just like put a text thread like, who wants the vaccine? Come right now and get it.
Yeah,
it's very informal.
Yes, here.
It's like all right. It was literally a story of like a pizza delivery guy came to a nurse's like a doctor's office. And they're like, get in here. We have like 12 that are going bad, and they just give it to the delivery.
Right. I'm talking out of my butt a little bit here, but I think that we are doing such a bad job on delivering the vaccine or getting it into people's arms right now. It really should just be just show up and we'll vaccinate you because.
No, I think that's probably more efficient at this point. It's like if you're 70, go to the front of the line. If not, just show up, I think would be faster.
Yeah, but okay, well, let's not do
this
too much.
This has been vaccine talk. That's what people tune in for.
Yeah.
People want our medical opinions.
Sure.
Maybe you know what we're doing?
We can fix things.
Yeah. Yeah, if somebody has an idea how to fix the vaccine situation, write in for the wheel. Hopefully, it'll come up soon.
Yeah,
we'll jam it. Rob and Akiva are popping off right now, and that's Jessica Frey's idea. It's called Rob and Akiva Pop Off.
Okay, she says, go on.
I have a great idea for the wheel. It's twofold. Number one, you're going to watch an episode of TLC's Dr. Pimple Popper.
No way. No. Okay, I'm out.
Veto.
I'm out.
Well, we don't have to veto.
Okay, let me hear the idea. Let me hear the idea first. Mm-hmm.
And then you guys could maybe talk to a skincare expert and learn how to remove acne for the younger listeners, learn about skincare and how to do a face mask, get a skincare routine that fits your lifestyle. If anything, I'm weirdly obsessed with Dr. Pimple Popper. It'd be fun to have you guys watch and get your reactions to all that.
Okay.
Pop.
So I have been podcasting 90 Day Fiance with the great Pooya Zambakili. And it's very enjoyable. Love 90 Day Fiance. And I see commercials for all these other TLC shows. And then we did a TLC shows are trash. I think we might have picked the most benign and normal show on TLC to talk about.
We just did 90 Day Fiance, right?
That was right. That's we only about. We called it, you know, just for the branding that TLC shows are trash. But we only talked about 90 Day Fiance. The rest of the shows on TLC, like I think we could probably like play a fun game if I had it prepped of real TLC show or not.
Yeah, there was Smothered, which is like about the. There's like moms that are too obsessed with their daughters. And
oh,
like,
so yeah. There's like, a lot of like, yeah.
There's like the third wheel in the relationship.
He's a mama's boy. Yeah. That's a show. There's another show that's about like is it called the 1,000 pound twins?
Yeah.
1,000 like pound that. Sisters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is My 600 pound life a TLC show?
I don't think so.
No, I think that's I think that's like Discovery.
That's a competing show. There's other shows about like these families. Like I don't really even know what's going on. Like there's the Derricos, and then Welcome to Plathville, and I don't even know what's going on TLC.
It makes me laugh because TLC was called the Learning Channel, right? It was literally like about learning, and now it's just
I don't know what we're learning.
The most effed up people in America.
Yeah, this Plathville show. I don't even know what it's. It looks like it's like the.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it looks like all these people are like very blonde. I don't even know what the premise of the show is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like Boy Meets World. Everyone's blonde.
But I do not want to see the Pimple Popper.
No, that's.
I'm sorry. Let me be Dr. Pimple Popper.
That's right, MD to you.
That's Dr. Pimple Popper.
I told you, my wife likes to pick the blackheads off of me. Right? We like makeup.
Have we talked about that? Or did I black?
Yeah,
did I block
you
that
made
out?
A joke about like, oh, you have makeup. Like if she's mad at me, like makeup blackhead popping.
Okay. A good line. That sounds right.
It hurts so much. Yeah. It really is incredibly painful.
Okay. Matt, would you watch Dr. Pimple Popper or Girl Meets World?
First, definitely Girl Meets World, and I'm already regretting agreeing to the mailbag. This is what we're going to be talking about.
Why you don't like Dr. Pimple Popper?
Dr. No, Sandra like Lee.
Sounds like the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, the commercials are really disgusting.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm pretty squeamish. I was like the type of person who would look away during ER when they do operations, so I'm not really in on it either. But I like the pitch.
Yep. That we don't need it. We don't need Dr. Pimple Popper.
Okay. This is going back to a show that
Jessica
sort
Frey.
Of used to be on the wheel.
Yeah.
But we're gonna Christopher is attacking it in a different direction. It's called Where in the World are Rob and Akiva?
Okay.
He says, all right, gumshoes, it's time to fly back to our childhood and the Apple II or Commodore 64 and play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Rob and Akiva will travel the world relying on clues to track down the crooks from the vile organization and maybe, just maybe, track down Carmen Sandiego. Additionally, they could have a discussion about the history of the franchise, including the games, game shows, and all the television spinoffs up to and including the current show on Netflix. The questions he asks are, how well do Robin and Akiva know the world? How well do they know their flags? How well will they remember this gem of a game? Find out when Robin and Akiva track down the notorious thief, Carmen Sandiego.
Okay, well, Akiva, now, didn't we have a version of this with Eric Stein, and then he played the game, and he said it was bad?
Yes, yeah, he played the game, said it was bad. It was on the wheel for many months, and then he took it off the wheel himself. I think... This is a little different. That was like a video game. What if someone puts together a game that's Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego for
with
us?
Geography?
You don't like geography.
Yeah.
Who does?
Yes. More of a 32 fans.
I like geography.
Yeah.
So someone should put this together for 32 fans. I don't know.
Matt, what do you think? Would you listen to this episode or you skip this one?
Yeah. It's probably going to be a skip. Also, not a geography guy. I don't really know anything about this Carmen Sandiego game, but.
You've never heard the show Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
I've definitely heard of it. I've definitely heard the term gumshoe. But yeah, not a geography guy. Very boring subject. It's a big skip whenever they're answering geography questions on Jeopardy.
You skip around on Jeopardy?
No, I don't. But I do look down at my phone. I look down at my phone if they're doing a geography.
Like I'm gonna
Jeopardy,
skip.
Yeah, Jeopardy's tough because you can't really like check a text message or anything because then you miss like two clues and then you don't get to impress everyone with how smart you are.
Matt, are you such a big Jeopardy guy?
Yeah, who are you? Yeah. Look at this guy getting all these texts during Jeopardy.
I mean, I'm getting texts all the time. I'm a very active person on my phone. But yeah, I'm watching Jeopardy every day with my mom and you know trying to.
Trying to prove to your mom that you're smart, and if you miss a couple questions because you're checking, you should put away your phone while you're watching TV with your mom, Matt.
I'm not watching TV with my mom. I'm watching Jeopardy. She's in the room. She's also watching Jeopardy. And, you know, if there's a clue comes up that one of us knows, we'll, of course, shout it out. My grandparents used to play a crazy way when we watched, because that's how I started watching it with my grandparents, but they wouldn't let you call out the answer when you watched, which is the only reason to watch Jeopardy. That's the most fun part. Instead, you'd have to keep track of how many you got so as to not spoil it for the other contestants and then reveal how many you got at the end of the episode and whoever got the most
won. That's insane.
That's insane. Yeah,
that is insane.
No offense, your grandparents. That's
crazy. I told my grandpa that every day and they're like, no, because then you could have it and then you could ruin it by someone else. And
are you keeping your score at least like plus 400, minus 800, that stuff or not even?
I think they're just keeping track of the number of questions they get right.
No, and that's absurd also. I have a lot of holes in this.
I know, and to be fair, the biggest thing is you could cheat, but my grandpa never did cheat because after every episode he'd be like, "I think I only got one that whole episode." But he was so into it.
Akiva, if you have answers for days, like you don't care, but if you only had that one answer and then Maddie Fresh blurts it out,
yeah, that's true. He's like, "That's the one I knew, Matt." What are you doing?
I was gonna say that. Why do you have to yell it out?
But I'd be interested in a Jeopardy themed RNAP, which I think you guys have already done.
Yeah, we did do that early on.
Yeah,
very early.
Let's bring it back for the sequel mechanism. But Carmen Sandiego, not for me. If you guys got a really good guest, I'd probably still listen. But
my only Jeopardy pitch is: what if we each got a ringer, Rob? What if we each found like one of the best Jeopardy people we could find? Because there's a lot of people who've been on Jeopardy who listen to the show. We could easily find someone who's been on it. We could, you know, we could find people who've, you know, even been big winners if, you know, you wanted to do that. And we each had found a ringer and like, I don't know how that would work, but like me and a ringer versus you and a ringer.
I think that'd be very boring. I think it'd be it's like we're sort of like putting our champion on for.
No, but I think it's like you switch off answering questions or like one of us the single and one of us the double or something. You don't like it?
Yeah, well, what do we care how good our Jeopardy ringers are?
But it's like really me versus you because ostensibly they'll be like similarly good. But like, we'll have to carry
the other
half.
Then why not just have me versus you again?
I guess we could do that. But I like the idea of having ringers also. Speaking of the ringer, this is called Podcast Power Hour from Jarrett. And he says, Robin Akiva Podcast Power Hour, the name needs workshopping. In the style of a Power Hour or Sour Ones, the show we have not yet done, Robin and Akiva will cycle through pretending to be as many non-RGP related podcasts as they can. The listener will have their week's worth of podcasts listening condensed into one RNAP episode. There will be no reason to listen to any other podcasts. These podcasts could include Joe Rogan, WTF with Mark Maron, Caller Daddy Serial, etc. Every 5 or 10 minutes, the bell dings and Robin and Akiva must imitate another show.
So we're doing other shows or we're recapping the week on that show?
Well, he says doing. I guess in theory we could recap whichever one you prefer.
Yeah, I think that there's something to it. I was more interested in sort of like we're listening to we listen to like 30 podcasts in a week from all over the map, and
I'm
then
like that. I'm in on that right now.
And then are talking about them, and maybe there are things that we do not normally listen to. I think that might be fun. But then when we're like, okay, now we're doing Call Her Daddy. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could get pretty confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know Caller Daddy? I don't think
I do.
I don't think that would be interesting if we did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm open to the idea
how many podcasts is the sweet spot for that episode?
Could we listen to 20 podcasts in a week?
Well, of course, we could. That's a lot of work for you. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you think we could really recap 20, or is that, are we overshooting it maybe? Should it be like 12 or 15?
Yeah. I think if you're doing like a power hour,
because we have to do, yeah, we have to do like, or you want to do 5 minute recaps for each?
Right. I'd say 12
episodes. So that'll work for you, Rob. You're going to regret it. It is a good idea, but now you're going to regret committing to listening to 30 podcasts in a week, I think.
Wait, you don't think I could do it?
I know you could do it, but you're going to, it'll be like, you know, shoot, are we really watching Ed after Dunstan checks in? Like, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. But this, I think, is, it would be easier for me than watching a movie.
It's true. You are a big audiobook and audiophile, you know, whatever you listen. But you tell me the number. You tell me the number. I'm up for anything. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. So let's just do the math. So what? If we did spend 5 minutes on a podcast, we listen to 12 podcasts,
But
like,
is 5 minutes enough to really mine the whatever we need out of the podcast?
I don't know. I think so. Like, I feel like, what would we do? A short mailbag?
Yeah, I guess we could do a short mailbag. And also, in theory, we could do like 8 minutes on one and 2 minutes on the other.
And
if we
are people writing in with
I think we're putting this on the wheel, but during the 1 week waiting period, we will get suggestions for maybe shows we don't know about. Because I think we should do a Bill Simmons. Is there anything you really want to do? Is there anything you think has to be on there?
Well, are we more interested in hearing new podcasts that we've never listened to?
I think a mix.
Okay.
I think most of it should be podcasts people are familiar with, so we could you know what I mean? But I think we should have, we're definitely open, like maybe even a listener's podcast, we're open to including one or two that are not, you know, big names.
By the way, that's one of my favorite topics on 32 Fans is when you just recap a Bill Simmons podcast.
Do you like that?
I really like that. It's one of my favorite things.
It's funny. The Bill Simmons talk goes, you know, that could get heated in the chat and stuff. People like the, I mean, Bill Simmons at this point.
Where does it get heated? In the Facebook group?
Not heated. In the 32 Fans WhatsApp chat, the patron chat.
Yeah.
Some
people don't like it.
No, people like the Simmons chat, but I feel like Simmons is very divisive at this point because he hasn't written a word in 7 years. He has like $200 million in the bank. You know,
but people are mad that he's, where's his articles?
No, people are mad.
He has too much money.
No, I think he's, his opinions aren't good anymore. You know what I mean?
That's why it's fun to hear a recap.
But I would want to do Simmons. Should we do Caller Daddy? Would that be funny?
You know, I know what the show is about. I honestly don't listen to the show, so I don't know.
Matt, are you a Caller Daddy guy?
No. Not okay. at all. But I think this is a good idea for me, because I was just telling you about how I had to cut out a bunch of podcasts ever since I stopped working. So if you guys could just kind of like recap all the ones I used to listen to, but I've not had time for, and just kind of like talk about all of them for the past week. Then
I'll put out a form this week or even a tweet, and I'll say like, tell us what podcast and why.
What is it?
And
is this then, like Pod Center? What is it?
What's a good name? Because do you think Power Hour is the best name for this?
I like alliteration, so that works for me.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
We're not gonna get roasted like those pod on pod people did, right? The zero earbuds.
It's possible. It's possible. I think they did a whole episode that was about Rob's podcast.
Yeah, I don't think like Joe Rogan cares what we say about his podcast for 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So look, I think this is fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into that. All right, so add that to the wheel, and then next week it'll be eligible. We'll pick the podcast.
I'm
going to
give this
show
zero earbuds.
Okay.
It's a throwback.
Real throwback, yeah.
Wonder what they're up to with this. The pot on pot.
I think they have to change their name because the RGP fans. That's really the only time that like Rob's people have brigaded somebody that I remember in my 8 years of listening to your podcast.
We're waiting for another moment, yeah.
The community really came together in that moment.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It was ruining those two people's young podcast. Okay.
Akiva, hold on. Quick question. Sorry. You mentioned that you are a host of 3.5 podcasts. I was just curious what the half podcast is.
Well, we argue whether, because we have this one, we have New Girl, Old Guy, and we have 32 Fans. But then I do 32 Fans Patreon episode, which is a different feed.
Oh, okay.
And I argue that's a different podcast. I think Rob thinks that's stupid, and that's where the joke came to be that it's 3.5.
Gotcha. All right. I was just curious. I must have missed that somewhere along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sure there'll be a fourth in 2021.
It is patron bonus content. It's a new podcast.
It's a different feed.
Yeah. It's a different feed, but it's the same. It's the same name. It's the same branding. It's the same topic.
We'll change the name. Mm-hmm. We'll change the name so it could be four. This is a pizza story from Josh the Pizza Guy. If you remember, Josh wrote in.
I have his letter right here.
I believe he literally wrote in a letter.
Yeah.
And told us that, you know, talked about should we do crazy stories from the gig economy. And we said, tell us one of your crazy pizza stories. And he said, all right, I will.
Yeah, he said, in addition to these ideas, I have a lot of weird pizza delivering stories.
Mm-hmm. So Josh the Pizza Guy, here's his story. He said it was pre-COVID. I was delivering a huge order to somewhere I've never been before.
Okay.
It was about five pizzas. I get to the door, and when they open up, there's about eight people in there dressed in fur suits all staring at me.
Hmm.
There were two people at the door, either wolves or dogs, I couldn't tell. I was pretty much speechless, and they were saying things like, is this what you humans call money? And they were growling and barking at me. I think everyone in the back was just staring because they wanted a funny reaction from me. I left the house and tripped over their stairs and got up quickly and ran to my car. He doesn't say if they tipped well or not.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think that they were thinking like, okay, we are going to prank the pizza guy? Like, they order, like, nine different delivery things just to do this same prank to other people. Or did he walk into some sort of, like, furry convention?
Furry convention. Yeah, it's a good question. Or both. It could be both. It could be, like, they're furries, but they also enjoy freaking people out with their furriness, right? It could be both.
Yeah, I guess it could be both.
It's probably some kind of combination.
Yeah. Okay. That's unusual.
Yeah, that is unusual, but I'm not sure if that carries a whole podcast.
So yeah, like there's definitely a lot of funny stories from probably pizza delivery people in particular. But as we just demonstrated here, like you hear the story and then kind of like what happens next? Are you just reading people's stories or?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think that's what his pitch was.
Yeah. Do we have any other stories from pizza delivering?
No, that was the only one he sent in. We have another.
I feel like
called,
if I was in a furry costume, I don't know if pizza would be the takeout of choice. I feel like I'd want something that would be like more of like a knife and a fork.
Why is that?
Like, well, what are the paws like on the furry costume?
So you're saying your hand access isn't great. Interesting.
Yeah.
And it could get on your, well, right. Also like, are you worried about ruining your costume?
Yeah, right. you probably get
tomato sauce out
it.
Of fur? Yeah.
Good question. And do they eat in the costumes? I guess they're eating in the costumes. I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let us know if you're any furries out there. Write in and let us know. Someone will write in and tell us. Robin Akiva Nieder's writer's room is the next idea.
Yeah.
They say it could be similar in structure to the Pot Off, where Robin Akiva each separately select a writer's room of five or so listeners to write for them on the next Renap episode. It could either be short segments of Robin Akiva's writer's room convening, as in two different podcast sections. So I also don't know what's going on right now. Rob and Akiva present for each other their own writer's room, the writers knowing the topic of the episode, of what the episode is going to be, could be announced alongside this coming up on the wheel. And then a few days later, Rob and Akiva record a short podcast afterwards, either banter or season 3, episode 7, using the material their writer's room wrote for them. If you want to get more ambitious, the writer's room could randomly be deployed for any of the next 20 episodes after it's landed on. Without the other host knowing, and we'll find out if the other host can see it, or the writer's room could be a permanent staple of the show. It can be called upon whenever Robin and Kevin need to phone it in for an episode.
Okay, so first of all, I don't like the part where we're making separate podcasts. I feel like even though we got Gold out of the Queen of the Class and Mara talking with you on the Flintstones, that I feel like the show is Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah, no, people said that. Some people, I think overall that episode people liked, but some people said like it was their least favorite just because we're not together at all.
Yeah. So then the idea of the writer's room is interesting. That could they be like writing bits for us to do?
Mm-hmm. And is it on a particular type of episode? Is it just like, all right, we're going to use the writer's room for this episode, and it could be in a season 3, episode 7. It could be a game show. They could write our quips. It could be, you know, an art trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what type of episode would work best with a writer's room?
And I feel like the audience will hate this also. I feel like that will be the fun of that the writers will work very hard on something, and the audience will hate it, and then we'll talk about, you know, how bad of a job that the writers ended up doing on this assignment. And that's where it'll be
fun.
Hurting
the writer's feelings.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's where I see this going. And ultimately, I feel like that there is like a good time is had by the listener. But Matt, what do you think about this?
I'm so lost. These people, you're hiring a team of writers and they're writing like,
well, nobody said anything about paying, but keep going. Yeah.
And they're like writing a script for you, or just like certain jokes that you're telling.
Yeah. You know what? Like, save the writers for what happened to the Robin and Kevin Need a Podcast table read. Where do we go with that?
We haven't, you know, landed on an episode yet. Do you want to do Saved by the Bell? What do you want to do there?
No. That I want to do a table read of that. We talked about this. I think this was with Chappelle, where we talked about that somebody was going to write the script for an episode of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. Remember The Rock Watches The Rock?
The Watch Watches The Rock. Okay. Yeah. I do remember a couple people reaching out. Hit me up again right when you hear this.
If there are writers that want to write for Rob as a podcast, get the writer's room together and write the fictional Robin and Keeping Need a Podcast episode. That's like a really good episode with a great guest.
And so this is The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson watching The Rock.
It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be that.
Okay, that was just our sample idea. Okay.
Yes. Matt, can you give us like what would be your ideal Robin Akiva talked to Corey Matthews and Topanga?
Oh, that's a great idea. Put it on the wheel right now.
Mm-hmm. Newlywed Game with Robin, Nicole, Akiva and Mara, and Corey and Topanga.
Yeah, and someone's just writing the script for this, and we're doing a table read of it. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
All right, fine. So yeah, we could put together a writer's room instead of putting this all in one person's hands. So reach out to me, and you could be added to the writer's room for The Rock Meets The Rock. Rock Watches The Rock, whatever that's called.
Doesn't need to be that.
Doesn't need to be that. That's just our sample pitch. All right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we could get that going. All right, that's fun. What else do we have? This is from Daniel. He says, Robin Akiva planned my 30th birthday. I learned during the latest episode of her nap that Liana Barth, like myself, was born in 1991. That means we're both turning 30 in 2021. My pitch is simple. Robin Akiva plan my 30th birthday. That's it. If I'm not good enough for you, it could be Robin Akiva plan Liana's 30th birthday or both of ours. It's a great idea.
Does Liana need to sign off on this?
I mean, if we're planning her birthday, then maybe. We have a lot of options because I think we learned that a lot of our, like Allie and Haley and all those people, they're all turning 30 this year.
What month is, what is this person's name?
Daniel.
Daniel. What month is Daniel's birthday?
He did not say.
Yeah. Okay, because if it's like January, February, like I think you might be playing Among Us. If it's, September, October, we have some more options, some more colors to paint with.
Do you have any ideas for somebody's birthday?
Sure, we can come up with something.
I'm going to try. Listen, I'm good at Googling. I'm going to try. I have this guy's last name because he emailed us. I won't say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask. I'm going to see if I could figure out when his birthday is while we keep going on the podcast.
Okay.
The thing is, like, what happens if you put this on the wheel and it's on the wheel for a year or two and everyone has already turned 30 by the time it comes up?
No, I don't think this is on the wheel, right? Are the planning this guy's birthday is going to be on the wheel?
No, I don't think it's necessarily on the wheel.
I think we could just do things that are either put it in the variety pack or that we could just do things in the mailbag.
Yeah, I agree. I do more stuff in the mailbag, and the next couple of pitches are going to be about that.
Okay.
This is from Derek. We know Derek well.
Yes.
Derek works for you. And he said, I just listened to the latest episode. Great job, as always, though I'm a black licorice fan myself.
Yeah.
Excited for the
I got a call the other day, Akiva, during the 6-hour aforementioned patron cast from one of our listeners, Bengal Scott, who was very offended by you and your continued use of the term red licorice. He says red licorice is not a thing. All licorice is black licorice, and that the red licorice is either cherry or strawberry flavored black licorice.
That's insane. Bagel Scott, what are you talking about?
Show
me just the proof.
Yes, that's like that. It's no such thing. It's like it's a Twizzler or it's a Red Vine. It's not licorice.
All right, Bagel Scott, I you blew my mind. I did not know that, but you get what I was trying to say.
You don't like red licorice. You like Twizzlers.
I like Twizzlers or Red Vines.
Yeah,
or you know what my favorite is, honestly.
What?
The Darrell Lee Australian licorice. You ever had those?
I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah, they're a little fancier. They come in smaller bags, but that's my favorite. You get them in America. They're like a lot of New York supermarkets. They have them. Love those. They're like smaller and thicker.
Wow.
So Derek says that he pitched the variety pack 2 years ago. He even attached an email.
Okay.
But he says he's not mad, but he wants to add a pitch to it.
Okay.
He says, my idea is that you have more than 4 to 6 ideas. And during the variety pack show, you put all the mini ideas on a mini wheel and you spin the wheel to see what mini segment you're doing next.
Okay.
The wheel spin, he says, is arguably one of the most exciting moments of the show. Other than yours and Rob's brilliant and hilarious banter, this guy's just kissing up now. The other 9% of the podcast, because of the anticipation of what would come. So it would be every 10 minutes or so, you'd have another wheel spin to see which variety pack mini podcast segment comes up next. Boom, money, you're welcome.
All right. The only issue there would be if there's any prep involved or guests involved with that, and sort of like to be able to like know what we were doing ahead of time, we can sort of like plan the show a little bit better.
That's true. I mean, I guess we shouldn't pick anything up that's like, it will be really devastating to the person if it doesn't come up in that episode. You know what I mean? But I think we could like light prep or no prep or no guest or, you know, I think.
Yeah,
we could,
I feel like we're a little more boxed in, but let's see what the variety pack ideas are.
Okay. Yeah, we got a couple of them. Well, we already have one or two of them in.
Matt, do you have any mini ideas for us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say that I don't like this idea because, like you guys said, the listener said, the wheel spin is the best part of the episode, and it's in part because it's only done once per episode.
We water it down.
Yeah, if you're oversaturating the episode with wheel spin after wheel spin, you know, this is something that we are having problems with. You know, Survivor now and Drag Race now. You know, they found too many
lip syncs for your life. You're saying
you get it. You saw the episode.
Yeah.
Too many, you know, you have episodes that are entirely lip syncs. You have seasons of Survivor that are just like entirely hidden immunity idols. And now if we take this great podcast and just make it all wheel spins, now people are going to start getting sick of the wheel spins. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
What do you think about that, Akiva?
Yeah, it's an interesting take.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I think a one-time thing, I don't hate it.
Well,
but I hear what he's saying in general. I think for one time that it's lower stakes. Yeah. I don't think
it's a big
deal.
And maybe it could be a different randomized mechanism. Like we could put we could Shrek's head or something.
Absolutely. Yeah, we could have Shrek, whatever Shrek saying comes up. Like each Shrek saying in your Shrek cookie jar, you know, represents a different idea or something like that.
Okay.
All right. I'm back in.
Back in. Mm-hmm. All right.
I also like that he signed off with boom, money, you're welcome. I hope he does that with professional emails.
I've never heard him say that before, but maybe that's his new catchphrase.
That is his catchphrase now. You have time for more?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, Trevor says, there's a new BBC game show that's perfect for a nap. It's called The Wheel. Now, Matt's already out. We're wheeled out. This game features a rotating wheel of celebs who are experts in a particular category, which could be sports, pop culture, music. There's also a wheel of contestants that spins, and whichever contestant it lands on, that person is hoisted up to answer a trivia question in a particular category. However, the wheel of celebrity spins too, so the celebrity expert of that category may not get selected. That contestant and celebrity work together to try and answer the question correctly. Besides the name being obviously appropriate for
already.
Them.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, let's say instead of celebrities, we had hosts. So it was like Matt Gagan and Matt Lagori and Matt Stewart.
Okay.
We had like people from our, it was all Matt's, let's say.
I like it.
And your team was all Rob's. And basically you would be asked a question and Matt, let's say Matt Gagan would be a Boy Meets World expert and Matt Lagori would be a SpongeBob expert, but it's possible that Matt Gagan could get called up for something he's not an expert in, let's say SpongeBob. Right?
Yeah.
So now you and the person who's not an expert and have to join together and answer the question.
I think this is very complicated for a podcast.
I don't think it's complicated. I think he maybe didn't explain it perfectly.
Yeah. That.
I think it's like a team. What if it's like, put it this way. What if it's like you have a team of three? It's a little bit like Family Feud. You have a team of three and I have a team of three. And they each have an area of expertise. But it's a little bit more of it's a regular trivia show, just with a twist.
Yeah, it's definitely confusing, but I do like trivia, and if you get a fun group of guests, then it'll definitely be fun. Like it's hard to mess up like just a trivia game with a group of fun people. Like I think it'll be a pretty good episode.
I don't know. I think there's just too much going on here.
Okay. All right. I can look at the he sent a link to the episode, which I did not watch, but I could look at the episode and see if there's anything there to squeeze out of.
Yeah.
Maybe we could take part of it without because I like the idea of us playing a game called The Wheel. We do have to make a game show at some point this month, possibly.
Potentially.
Potentially, unless it ends up in quicksand.
Yeah. Quicksand is sinking fast.
That is true. We're running out of time. All right. One more I have an idea that we talked about last week that we liked and we needed it honed. And I think double name Jane Claire, as she calls herself, has an idea for how to work the Among Us mailbag.
Oh, okay.
She says, instead of having each of the people on the mailbag have five different ideas, they have one different idea. And each round, we're going to get a little bit more information about the idea before we call one the imposter and eliminate it.
Okay. So we're just hearing the name.
So round one, you would learn the title of the idea from each crewmate. You'd have to make an elimination just based on the episode title. The imposter could have a really good title, but a really bad idea. Then round two, I actually really like this. Round two, you get to learn who the guest on the podcast be. So the imposter, maybe they book Chappelle for a terrible idea. Although she says, however, any podcast with Chappelle is 100. But round three, if you haven't found the imposter by round three, then the imposter gets to make an elimination of one of the other two crewmates.
A little bit of like a secret H aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. And then round four or five, you get a little bit more of the pitch and you get to ask a yes or no question. Then you have to decide who wins. If at any point we suss at the imposter, we get to hear the full pitches of the remaining ideas. And you'll be able to put one on the wheel.
Sure. So it's a mailbag. What could go wrong?
Yeah, I like this. I'm going to green light this. And the next time we have maybe a shortish episode like this with a bigger mailbag, we will have this ready to go.
Okay.
I like that. Jane, double name Jane Claire.
Okay. Sounds good.
Well, I mean, double names, we're talking about triple names. Are we still into the triple name? What do you think about the triple name bracket for bracket season?
We said it was good.
Yeah,
are you into that? You don't think that's 32 fans? You're up for doing the triple name bracket in March?
I think it would be fun.
Okay. Well, I'm into it then. Yeah,
if Rob's up for it, don't try to bring this to 32 fans.
I'm not. I want to do it. I want to do it. But I'm just making sure.
I was telling Akiva before we came on that I felt like he was trying to take the theme song bracket out from under us and bring that over to 32 fans.
To be honest, you really were not interested in doing it in March 2020.
Wow.
Well, we're not interested in doing a repeat. I mean, again, like we don't have to repeat every good episode we ever did.
Mm-hmm.
You and Nick, that's how we ended up settling on One Hit Wonders, which was it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, I reserve the right to evolve my thinking.
Of course. And absence makes the heart grow fonder. It's been 2 years. I think we could go back to the theme song bracket. That's all I got. Matt, do you have anything?
For the wheel? Oh, no. You did give me homework and asked me to come up with some ideas for the wheel, but it was pretty last minute, so I didn't really have time to do it.
That's okay.
Okay.
Rob, you got anything?
Well, I'd like to touch on the Renap bot. I feel like that the Renap bot's been a little bit on tilt lately. I'm not sure if it's okay in the new year.
I think it's getting smarter, honestly, the Renap bot.
Yeah?
That's nonsense, I think.
I don't know. I think it's been a little out there, especially of late. Earlier this week, it wanted to do an idea called Catfishier AF. Akiva is a snob. Akiva is a snob. Akiva cannot be trusted.
It's not nice.
Yeah.
They also did DuckTales Season 3, Episode 7. Rob and Akiva have a call-in show in which they try to guess whether or not Akiva is a duck.
That's a really good one. I like that idea.
Yeah. Rob has an evil twin named Liana. Keevan Danny versus Liana and Akiva. So is that my evil twin, Liana?
Yeah, the Runetpod is obsessed with Liana. Also, Roppy, hosted by Eric Stein, who ranks the best and worst podcast hosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like Rob and Akiva can't stop thinking about Chester.
Yeah. can I also respond to that Chester opened up the most recent 32 fans episode talking about how I was one of the people that did not respond to getting Venmo'd one cent from Chester.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chester Venmo'd. Venmo. I did not know about this.
Yeah.
Chester Venmo'd everyone he knows one penny in honor of Festivus because of the human fund? Was that the reason?
I don't know. But he made it sound like, what? Where does this guy get off? He doesn't accept my Venmo of one penny. And I did see that. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I said, is this some sort of like a phishing scam? I thought, there's no way. Why would Chester be sending me one penny? Obviously, he's been hacked. And if I respond to this email, I will be hacked too.
Ah. So So, yeah, I guess one penny doesn't make a move. Like, there was no reason to accept. That's funny.
Yeah, and he, like, can be he can be blocked.
I thought, I defended you. I said, that's probably not even, Rob's never mentioned Venmo. That's probably not even his real account.
I mean, it's not like I'm ever out to dinner with five people and like, oh, let's split the check.
True.
I've very little use. I think I've used Venmo like three times in my life.
Yeah, I didn't think you were a big Venmo guy. We thought maybe it wasn't even your Venmo. At what point would you have accepted it? If it was a dollar, would you have accepted it?
I don't know. I mean, if Chester like owed me a dollar, I would say, oh, here's that dollar from Chester. But if somebody is like out of the blue, just like sending me a Venmo for some obscure amount of money, that I'm probably most likely to think like, oh, they got hacked. Just like if I get like a Twitter DM that's like from a random person, that's just a link. I don't click on it.
True. That's true.
Yeah, I think Rob's completely in the right on this one.
Yeah,
no, I agree.
My defenses are up.
You can never be too careful.
One more Renatbot idea. Rob and Akiva watches Zoom in bed. In this award-winning podcast, RNA walk you through the most fabulously bizarre bed stories you've ever heard.
Okay, I like this one. I like being our RNA. Yeah, that's good.
It's very familiar with us.
What do you think about this? Robin Akiva's bedtime stories, all stories pertaining to beds in some way.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be a little too PG-13/R?
I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe right. It's like, hey, I was working in a furniture store, or maybe it's like, you know, who knows where it goes?
Yes. If you have a bed story, write in, and if we have more than one good bed story,
I think
you get
into a lot of things of like, oh, like, hey, you know, I was so drunk in college that I peed the bed. Like, I bet there's a lot of good bed stories out there.
Probably. You think better than the amount of pizza delivery stories there are?
I bet there's more good bed stories than pizza delivery stories.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So we're soliciting bed stories for next week.
Yeah.
2021 is off to a hot start.
Yeah, Renatbot also referred to me as Rob Tebow at one point. Rob wow. Tebow, you could bring on Rob and Kevin and have them play the game.
It calls me a key a lot, and it calls you Rob a lot also.
Yes. So there you go. A lot of stuff from the Renatbot.
I was not able to find Daniel Strunk's birthday, very sadly.
Hmm.
But
is he turning 30 this year?
He is turning 30. Okay. You want to spin the wheel?
Okay, sure. Let's go ahead and talk about what is on the wheel right now. Season 3, episode 7 is Ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
Coin flip.
Needs a week, right?
Crappy movie diaper. People's choice. Price is right. You are a shark week. Spinoffs are trash. Rob and Akiva invent a game show. Slipping further and further into the quicksand. Renap X, the sequel mechanism, Match Game, HGTV shows are trash, Robin and Akiva get tracked, Am I the A-Hole, Gen Z shows are trash, and Best Week Ever. Now, I know I brought this up again last week, the idea that Liana pitched, where we were talking about a specific year, is that on the wheel or no?
No, it is not on the wheel yet.
Okay. Are we waiting on something?
Let me double back. I'll get back to you next week, but okay. I can have that ready in some form by next week.
Okay. All right. I just feel like there's like a lot of things that sort of fall in that crack between, sure, let's wait 1 week and then we'll put them on the wheel next week.
No,
and then,
I work on things. Just looking at some of these, I like there's stuff I worked on. This
I just feel like if we turn the Renap couch cushions off and turn the couch upside down, I feel like there's like 12 ideas that were going to fall out.
Okay. All right. All right. This week I will get cracking on something, but I did work on a few this week also.
Okay. I mean, do we have a list of those things? What are they called?
I do. Well, it's anything in the wheels wheel waiting room is sort of on my to-do list.
Okay. All right. Matt, are you buying that?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm being thrown to the butt. I did. Okay. Chappelle show's there. I messaged Chappelle this week. Like, I'm working
and
on it.
And he's not getting back to you?
No, he didn't get back to me.
Sound like the Chappelle that I know.
He got back to me, but he didn't seem like dying to do the idea where he picks it. I think maybe he needs the idea to come to him first, and then he'll decide. Listen, Chappelle, if you're listening, let's get that going. I'll have somebody help you with it, even if you want.
All right. Akiva, where do we land on vetoes for 2021?
So I guess unless we change anything, we each have one, and then we have the joint veto,
the best friend's veto.
I just don't know. Is there anything we should do differently? Somebody said that one idea was that we get a veto, and if the listeners agree with our veto, we get the second veto.
Okay, so it's basically, this is like a booth review, and yeah, then we send it. We send it out, and then if like they look in the booth and they say no, that was a good veto, then we get our veto back.
Yes, we get the veto back. Correct. What do you think about that?
I like it. Is that for the second half of the year or second veto for the year?
Second veto for the year. Do you get a third one like the NFL challenges or no? Who is max?
Because
in the NFL, if you're 2 for 2, you get a third one.
I think you should get a third one.
We could ask Aisha, but I think 3 is fair if we go 2 for 2 on the first.
If you go 2 for 2, you've got your finger on the pulse.
It's true. And I trust the listeners to make this decision. But the only thing is that you probably won't even need 3 vetoes. I mean, you didn't even need 1 veto for this year.
It's true. Yeah. We barely needed one.
How about this?
It's true.
How about this? On the second veto, you got to go 60% approval.
I like it. I like
it. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so 50, you get 50 the first one. Somebody write this down. This, this is an amendment to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put this in there.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead to our big wheel spin, episode 115, coming up for next week. Okay. Also, we are hard at work on the Rob McKee Benita podcast Best of 2020 special. I'm a little burnt out from Best of special. I did a Best of News AF. I did a Best of 2020 on RHAP. But we still want to put out a Best of RENAP special this week.
Yes, although we did make it on a couple spots in the Best of RHAP.
Yeah, I put a couple of clips there. But I started a thread in the subreddit. I know Akiva tweeted it out. If you want to, it's not too late. If you're listening to this podcast like on Sunday, you can still let us know.
If you're telling me on Sunday, timestamp me.
Yes, okay. Or you can put, I'll keep an eye on the Reddit thread also if you want to go ahead and make sure that there's something that it has to be in the Best of 2020 on RAANAP. Here we go. Episode number 115, coming out hot. Let's see where we're going to go here with big 115. All right. Oh, and Akiva, we're going to start out with a coin flip.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I think that's good because we've watched so many shows in a row. Mm-hmm. Can we make a pact that we're not going to pick something that involves us watching like a TV show or movie for next week?
Sure.
Sure. I mean, you don't have to.
I know what I'm going
to
pick. So,
Wow. You know what you're going to pick. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right. How are we spinning the? How are we flipping the coin?
Okay. Matt, do you want to call it on the coin?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Keep you a heads or tails.
Okay. I will go tails. Never fails. I'll go tails.
Oh shoot!
What, you don't have coins?
I thought I did.
Instead of CD.
Matt's grandparents said you can't tell people what happened in the coin toss till afterwards.
Everybody write down what you said, heads or tails, and then after the show is over, we'll all reveal how we did. All right. Akiva, I have a pack of Polaroid film that's nearby.
Perfect.
Okay. So I'll just flip it up in the air. I'm on video, so you can see.
Yes. And to be fair, we've never found the coin from the previous coin flip, if you remember.
I don't even remember.
It's still on your desk somewhere.
Okay. All right.
You flipped it.
This is obviously, this is heads. Okay. This is heads. This is tails. You can't really tell, but it says Fuji film on the top. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Yeah. My favorite type of film.
All right. And it is heads.
Sure it is. All right. Rob wins.
Okay.
Can I make a pitch? Can I make a pitch to you first before you pick? Or are you on?
Yeah. No, you can make a pitch. You can make a pitch. This is like Sequester. This is like, okay. Yeah. Or tell me what, me who I should drag right now.
Yeah. Should I be like Brent? Start yelling?
No.
Never be like Brent.
No, please.
Okay. Girl, bye. Here's what I have to say. I think that we should go into the sequel mechanism here.
Yeah?
I think we should go to either the census we're the hot takeoff for next week and start 2021 off really hot.
Why?
I think he's making a lot of sense. I mean, we've already started 2021 off hot with this episode.
Yes, correct. Obviously, hotter, obviously. Mm-hmm. But this is technically a 2020 episode because okay. the wheel's been.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I think both of those will be very popular.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't involve watching anything. I don't know. Do I need a third reason? I think I know where you're leaning, and it's a good choice.
What do you think I'm going to do?
I think you're leaning towards Renap X.
You know me so well, because that's what I want to pick.
Okay, pick it.
Renap X.
There we go.
Beautiful. So, and you have speakers lined up?
Yes, yes. We have the ideas. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, work a little hard this week just putting everything together.
Is that on video?
I think the episode will be on video, and then if they want, they could bring a PowerPoint, but they don't have to.
Yeah. This is some RNA talks. Matt, do you know what Renap X is going to be?
Yeah, those are like the TED Talks, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How many do you want, Rob?
I mean, how long are they going to be?
I think we should keep them to 10 minutes, right?
10 minutes? I feel like 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah, that's what we have planned. I think I have like 6 possibilities. So, mm-hmm. And if there's somebody last minute, we had the sign up for this like 6 months ago. But if there's somebody last minute who has something incredible, send it to me and, you know.
How we'll are you going it. To make the cuts here?
Well, we made the cuts. I think Kelly and I basically picked them.
Which
already.
Kelly is this? Who's which Kelly?
Kelly White, Kelly W.
Okay. All right. And so, but you have room for other like late breaking speakers.
I think there's like a couple locks, and then there was like, let's say like 3 top tier ideas, and then 3 that were both, they were all good, but like hard to choose which one.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to like jump that list, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If someone has something incredible, I'm not going to turn them down, but we have enough already that we could, and plus, you know, availability, who knows who's available. Yeah. We have enough that we could get going now, but also if someone wants to hit a home run, I'm all ears.
Do we get the gong? If somebody is like, gone off the rails, it's not mm-hmm. good. Do we have the opportunity?
I would feel bad gonging somebody, but yeah but, probably.
But look, we would feel bad, but my loyalty is to the listener.
That, oh, look at this guy. Yeah,
it is.
I agree.
That
I agree.
I may not want the speaker to feel bad, but if like mm-hmm. they're going on, if they've like lost the thread, you know, I feel like it's I'm thinking of the person at home.
Who do you think about? Who like, in particular, right. like who's the listener you have in your head? It's like, ooh, that person's bored right now. Do you have a person? When you're doing a podcast, you think like, here's
the
person
who's
listening.
One person?
One person. And should we maybe if we don't?
I do, but I don't want to say who they are.
Oh,
I don't
want
them to have that much power over me. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy that you have a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should pick someone for a nap. It's like, have we lost that person? And if we lost them...
Well, it used to be Taylor Cotter.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wasn't there a bit... That
I think we put her to sleep forever, Taylor Cotter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. Well, she did come back to Twitter this week. I'm not sure if she's still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Who should be? We could think about who that person is. Someone could be like the write in and be the person who's like the person we have in our heads.
But
who wants real estate?
Who's living rent free? But I want everybody to be, you know, interested. I don't want to be losing people.
Okay, but I'll tell them beforehand. Like, if it sucks, just FYI, we're gonging you, baby.
Yeah. I mean, it kills me to get the negative feedback.
Do we want to only have one gong, or can we gong everybody if it all sucks? At which point, we kind of have to gong ourselves, because then it's a bad idea, and it's on us.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I think we would let them go on for a couple of minutes. Like, we would let them, like, if they're going on for 5 minutes, maybe.
No, I wouldn't gong 30 seconds in unless they're like, in this, I'm going to explain to you why OJ not only didn't do it, but was like, OJ. You know, like,
yeah, you know, I'd be interested in that. Yeah.
No, I would not gong that at all. Trust me.
I'd be on the edge of my seat with that one.
Yeah.
But if it was like, you know, I was trying to, like, not be too offended.
Right.
You got what
we get it. Okay. So, all right. I'm excited about that. I think that we could get like unlimited gongs, but I think that maybe we need some sort of like we're getting close to a gonging. Maybe it's sort of like a
if everybody gets gonged, that's basically like a pug gong.
Yes.
All right, we should end the show on that.
Okay.
Oh boy.
All right, Maddie Fresh. Well, what's next for you?
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like there's not a lot going on, so I'll probably just complete my week off from school and just watch as much TV as I can this weekend.
What are you watching these days besides Boy Meets World on DVD?
I'm finishing up Search Party on HBO Max, ahead of the new season that's coming out.
Yeah, what is Search Party?
I like the first season a lot, but I did not keep up with it. But it's a good show.
The first season was really good, and I think the second
What's
season,
the premise of Search Party?
It kind of changes a little each season, but it starts off, the first season is it's these four 20-something-year-old friends that have kind of recently graduated from college, and someone that they were acquaintances with in the college that they went to has gone missing, and the main character, Dory, is the only one that seems to care, and she tries throughout the season to find her and tries
to get
her.
It's like a Brooklyn comedy mystery, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it looks like a good cast.
It's very good cast. Very fun. It's really fun. It's out of all the shows that are like currently airing right now, it's definitely my favorite show right now.
Wow.
Okay.
High praise.
Yes.
Till Girl Meets World comes back.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
That's canceled.
Yeah, but this is on four seasons. I've never heard of it before.
I think it changed channels, right?
Yeah, it was CBS for the first two seasons, and now it's an HBO Max original. But yeah, I feel like not a lot of people talk about it, but the few people who recommended it to me were very passionate about it, and now I can see why.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
I never watched a CBS show before that.
Yeah.
I finished season one of The Politician, so I'm going to knock out season two this weekend.
What's The Politician?
It's a Ryan Murphy show on Netflix that stars Ben Platt. And kind of each season is a different political race season. So the first season is him trying to be student body president in his high school. And the next season is years later where he's trying to run for New York Senate.
Is it anything like The West Wing?
I mean, that sounds kind of political. So it's a satire. It's like a comedy drama, but mostly like a satire and, you know, politics based.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are the two I'm currently working on right now. Any recommendations for shows I should check out?
Have you ever seen The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Good
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that is really good. I just watched the reunion also on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
What about Sisters? It's a soapy Saturday night. Seal Award.
All right, and then Akiva, what's going on with you? That I know you had a big birthday party at your house this week.
Yeah, my son had a birthday party. Your son was invited. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
along with a lot of adult friends who came and played Among Us. What's up with me? We skipped NGOG this week, but we'll be back at it this weekend, recording an episode. 32 fans. We had a very fun episode. Our 400th episode. We did not realize we were up to episode 400 till we got ready to record. So we threw together. 40 different listeners sent in top 10 lists. We ranked those. We went over those 400 things.
I was listening this morning. It was very fun.
It was fun. It was listeners ranking the sexiest accents that Claire from If I Car Claire sent that in to, you know, some sports things and you know, top 10 Canadian provinces, stuff like that. And then football stuff. We have hopefully Adam Gase is going to get fired on Black Monday. I make this rant every year with the day that the football coaches get fired. People are like, oh, you can't celebrate when they get fired. Like, no, they make $20 million over the course of their contract. You're allowed to celebrate if they get fired.
And do people really do that? People are like, hey.
Jay Glazer. Every year, Jay Glazer's like, these are people losing jobs.
Yeah, but he's like in the industry. Like, fans are like that?
Yeah. No normal fans are like that. But Jay Glazer doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
He's like, yeah. Yeah, if you have generational wealth, then we're allowed to celebrate you losing your job. That's my rule.
Yeah, come on. We can have some fun. We're fans.
It's true. It's true.
I feel like in the reality TV world, I feel like even if you say like, you know, this person is not my favorite, people are like, why do you have to say anything about it? I'm a fan. I'm allowed to talk about things that I like and don't like.
So we got that, and next week on Robin
Especially
the Comedian
if I don't
podcast,
at them.
We have
yeah.
Don't at them. Don't tag them. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Renap X next week on a little show called the Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
Okay. All right. And Uncle Kiwi, are you pumped up for Justin Fields?
Yeah, the Jets are going to draft second. Hopefully they'll get Justin Fields. Maybe we could trick. Should we start leaking stories? Could that be a Robin Akiva thing? Leaking negative stories about Trevor Lawrence to get him to slip the two. He was out late. He thinks COVID's a whole.
Yeah.
What else could we do?
You know, in my like addled brain of being a sports fan, like I did try to think about like, you know, I root for like terrible things to happen to people so that like then like, you know, like players to get hurt or false positive COVID tests and stuff like, you know, it's like a sickness.
What if we spread good news about Justin Fields to get him picked first instead of Trevor Lawrence? What if we like Justin Fields like helped a little old lady cross the street? He gave all his money to charity from his rookie contract.
I don't know. It's just like I'm not sure like this sports fandom is a good thing because I root for like bad things to happen.
I never root for people to get hurt. I know, like maybe their feelings to get hurt, but I never root for people to actually get hurt unless they're on the Yankees.
Wow,
obviously that's fair game.
the only sports team that I like that I have I have.
I'm joking. Matt has like a Yankees banner up.
So, all right, that'll do it for us here. But Akiva and I will have a Best of Renap 2020 podcast for you this week as well. So you're getting a lot this week. A lot of Renap coming your way.
Plenty of us. I'm excited for that. We had a great year. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What was better, 2020 or 2019 on this podcast?
I feel like that we were more consistently strong in 2020. And I feel like that I do feel like that maybe 2019 might have had, you know, some stretches of like high highs, but I don't really think we went into like a slump at all in 2020.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed the answer. I think that the summer of 2019, where we had the live show and we did the Oregon Trail and we did the like the Royal Rumble, stuff like that, it's hard to have topped that. But I agree, 2020, there wasn't like an outright stinker like there was a few of them in 2019. I think we figured out more. And I agree. And also, I think even the individual highs, and we didn't really have much to do with a couple of the really highs, the big highs like the musical, the audio documentary, and the Song of the Summer. But those three episodes are arguably the three best episodes in the show.
I even feel like in 2020, like some of my favorite stuff was like around the time like that, like all the COVID stuff started to shut down. I feel like that, we had some, really strong, episodes, like right when the world was getting the most absurd. Like, I feel like that we were really like hitting our stride and had, you know, just a great year.
Yeah, well, the one people actually really brought up, which is a little bit later than that, was Eddie. That I was shocked, but so many people were like, "Oh, that was my favorite episode."
Yeah,
I think
there was a wild mailbag there too, right? That was like both
like
halves.
Eddie. People like the View episode, the Dr. Mike episode. Those were some of the popular ones.
I'm sure we'll hear some bits and pieces from a bunch of those in the Best of Renap special. Okay,
it's a great time to be just getting back into Renap.
Yes. Okay. Well, welcome back, Matt.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right.
Mandatory.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
I really need a podcast, but I need your help. Can we finally seal the deal?
I think we do. We need a podcast, but that's not enough. We have nothing if we don't at least have a small idea.
For this weekend, let's just pretend that we know what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
I got one more podcast to do.
I bet Mira's happy that I get to do two. I got one more podcast to do.
And I'm just happy that I get to do it with you.
Listen, Akiva, I'm sorry I peeved ya, but you know it's all in good fun. I never expected we'd all be objective. Now this new podcast has begun.
Dude, are you a moron? You think that I'd move on? Leaving was never my plan. You act like an asshat, but of course I'll come back. To the 32 fans.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Rob and Akiva need
Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.